So getting back to sort of more practical issues, particularly as it relates to the surgeons, one of the issues about bevacizumab is the issue about the juxtaposition of that to surgery and the effect on wound healing. What do we know about that?
I think we know a lot, quite frankly. We have a lot of retrospective data and some small prospective trials saying that, which you're going to do anyway, if you were giving it in the neoadjuvant setting, if you wait at least 4 to 6 weeks, which you would do anyway, you're not delaying anything, surgical complications are not likely to be increased. That's also true with liver resections. There's, in fairly large phase two studies, that's not been seen. In the postoperative setting, wound healing is not likely to be affected if you're waiting 4 to 6 weeks, at least 6 weeks after surgery, certainly. And also we have, and these are retrospective data collection sets, we have the BRIGHT and BEAT trials, which were collections of toxicity from people actually treated in real life, looking at VTEs, venous thrombotic events, looking at perforations, wound healing, et cetera. And both of these are now at the journal in review, but they've been presented at ASCO. And the data look pretty much like studies. So in real-life practices, although one certainly would monitor patients a little more carefully if they're on anti-angiogenic agents and tell people if they have a bellyache, make sure you call me. It might not just be a bellyache. It could be a perf. And make sure you have meticulous wound care. I think that the likelihood is that these things are going to be safe.
So specifically, if you have a patient who's going to be receiving bevacizumab, and they ask you a couple questions. Let's assume that they're younger and healthy without any comorbidity whatsoever, at or 55, 60 years old. They say to you, what's the chance, excess risk in terms of bowel perforation? What number would you give them?
I would say anywhere in the range of around 3%.
I had heard that the NSABP is presenting safety data of that adjuvant study, and they are going to report no increase of bowel perforation, but I guess that hasn't been reported yet.
That would be nice if it were true. I try to lean a little bit more on the side of caution.
Okay, what about the same situation? Patient says, what's the chance that because of taking bevacizumab, I'm going to have an increased risk of an arterial thrombotic event?
That's higher, and it depends on whether or not from the retrospective series, whether or not, for example, people are on aspirin or not, that seems to be associated with a lower risk. I usually tell people that probably in the range of 5 to 8%, and most of those are arterial, not venous.
What do we know about the biology of rectal cancer tissue or cells compared to colon cancer tissue or cells, particularly more clinically, looking at how tumors respond to different systemic agents? Is it your take that it's sort of the same tissue, just in a different place, or that there's something fundamentally different?
I think the fundamental differences are in anatomy, not in tumor biology. And so the best, I actually looked at this not long ago because people were talking about that. I said, do we really need to do FOX versus 5-FU in rectum? Aren't they biologically the same? And so I went back over metastatic series of metastatic trials, and looked at the differences in response, survival, and outcomes between colon and rectum, and they're virtually identical. And typically in those trials, about 80% of people are colon, 20% rectal.